It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here, as usual, in the studio where it's pleasantly cool today. It's not always like that here. Anyway, it's another Saturday, another interesting week in the market, another interesting week around the world. We will have no problem finding topics to discuss today, that's for certain. All the regulars, thanks for being here. We'll just keep doing the show forever as far as we're concerned, as long as you guys keep listening. And if you're new to the show, welcome. Try to listen for the whole hour. And we always promise, we promise very little in life, but we promise this. You'll learn something before the day is out. And it may even turn out useful. That part is remaining to be seen. There's a lot of action out there these days, and it's almost incomprehensible how fast the world is moving right now. And I say that partly because it's the middle of October already, and I start thinking about things like November and December, thinking, you know, that's a long ways away. It's not.
Not at all.
And especially in terms of year-end financial planning, which we've been kind of honing in on for the last month or month and a half, and I've got some more aspects of it to discuss today. And we'll just see what comes along. But as always, we will discuss what we want to discuss unless you guys pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255, and we will put you on, and we'll discuss what you would like to talk about. We will, as usual, have a trivia question after the first break. Adam has a public service announcement after the bottom of the hour. And other than that, we'll discuss content in any way, shape, or form that you would like or we would like. So we're here. We're ready. Let's have a little fun, I say. This week in the market, if you were tuned into Angela, you probably heard her mention that it was up. It got off to one heck of a start.
Yeah, it wasn't up across the board. It was up in certain spots, but mm-hmm. the NASDAQ actually shed 0.2%. It was up earlier in the week, though, as interest rates were falling. And then on Thursday, we got an inflation report that was a bit above expectations, and we saw the rates spike briefly. NASDAQ lost some ground. The news wasn't really that bad, but and the rates actually reversed and came down on Friday, but tech stocks are so hypersensitive to interest rates right now that it did, the NASDAQ dropped 2 days in a row to end the week. Mm-hmm. Despite that, it's up over 28% this year, so you can't really complain too much about a 0.2% drop.
That's the fun thing about volatility. It has two directions.
It does. In addition to that, the NASDAQ is up 1.4% this quarter, so the fourth quarter has definitely started off stronger than the third quarter left off, which is exciting. The S&P managed to gain 0.4% during the week, and the Dow pulled itself out of negative territory for the quarter with a gain of 0.8% for the week. So all in all, not too bad. It was better than the action we saw last month, that's for sure. Commodities staged a bit of a rally this week. Gold, silver, and oil all posted pretty big weekly gains. The index was up 3.8%, with oil leading the way higher at an increase of 6.5%. Maybe not the news that we all wanted, but that's what we got. Silver and gold weren't too far behind at 5.4% and 5.3% gains. International stocks generally flat for the week, while both developed countries and emerging markets lost about 0.2%, so not too bad. The Israeli stock market was down almost 10% for obvious reasons. China, Hong Kong, and the rest of Asia all had a similar performance to that down 0.2%. They all just either broke even or were slightly negative. Europe was in the same boat, trading just slightly down for the week. Latin America fared better, with the index gaining 2.2%. Brazil was the big winner, up 3%, while Mexico trailed a bit, gaining just 0.25%.
Speaking of volatility, Brazil.
Yeah, you've seen a lot there.
They define it.
Definitely. Mexico's been pretty hot this year, but this week Brazil was the big winner. Interest rates actually were down for the whole week, despite the midweek spike. Several members of the Fed spoke up, and all of them took a decidedly dovish tone, which is a pretty big reversal from where they were a month ago. It was so dovish that the odds of no rate hike next month went from the low 80 percentile range to 94% chance of no rate hike next month. So they did not like the inflation reports that came out this week and changed their tone because of it. Earnings season kicked off on Friday, and it actually started pretty well. Banks reported strong earnings, and there was three of them, I believe, that reported, and they all had pretty strong earnings, and the market was actually up on that news in the morning. It wasn't enough to counter a tech sell-off in the afternoon, though, which dragged the market down. The big economic news of the week was the PPI and CPI reports, which I mentioned earlier. Both came in slightly above expectations. The PPI came out first, gaining 0.5% versus an expectation of 0.3%. Producer prices are up just 2.2% from a year ago, but this increases on the back of large increases in both July and August, which shows that while we have made a lot of progress in inflation, the fight is not quite over yet. Just to put things in perspective, it's at 2.2%. It peaked at 11.7% last March, so it's still come a really long way. It's just that you want it to stay really low to get out of this high interest rate environment, and that's not what is happening right now. If you strip out the 3.3% rise in energy costs last month and the 0.9% increase in food costs, the overall increase drops to just 0.3%, which was exactly what the target was. CPI came in at an increase of 0.4% versus an expectation of 0.3% for September. The year-over-year number was an increase of just 3.7%. Energy prices contributed 1.5% to that number, while food prices contributed just 0.2%. Core prices, which is the one that everyone cares about, are up 4.1% from a year ago.
Yeah, one of the things that always bothers me about this, they interchange the core CPI and the CPI. Just because energy and food go up doesn't mean that if you don't talk about them, you're not paying more.
Yeah, that's true. But they are, the reason they strip them out is they're very volatile asset classes, or they're just volatile commodities. You've seen the price of oil go from 80 to 100 and back in about the span of 6 weeks.
And unlike some things like rents and so on, they actually will go down.
But that takes a long, long time, because rents are typically a year-long lease. And so once you're in it, you kind of have to ride it out unless you break it. That's why they try and strip out the really volatile ones, because they affect the index so much more than the longer term ones like rent.
Yep. All in all, we're heading in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, this month was a little bit of a step back, but that doesn't mean that the trend overall isn't still down, because it is.
No, I just wish we could unleash the economic power of the oil drillers and
definitely.
So on.
Definitely.
And we could solve this inflation thing so fast and make your head spin. All right, lots more when we come back after a short break, and we'll get to a trivia question. So we'll hang on, if you will. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do have a trivia question, as usual, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Over the past year, ending yesterday, there have been a lot of stocks. The average stock is up something like 14%. So it's been a very good year. And in fact, we're seeing that when we have client meetings this quarter, we're seeing that even though we just ended a quarter that was definitely forgettable, the 1 year ended September 30th in that case, the 1 year was a very good year for the market, and that's true almost universally. But not everything, of course, fared as well as some of the other things. And on the top of the loser list, the biggest percentage lost in share price was a company called NovaCure, which dropped 82.7% in the year ended yesterday. But I want to know what company lost the most market capitalization over that year. That shares times price. In other words, the value of the company. What company went down in value by the most of anything on the stock exchange for the year ended yesterday? And if you are not surprised by the answer to this one, then I'm not doing my job. How about that?
All right. Well, I also wanted to talk a little bit about a cause that we support. It's Joe's Jog for a Cure. It is a 5K race that our friends put on. They lost their son to leukemia, a very specific type of leukemia. All of the proceeds of this race go to benefit the Mulligan Lab at St. Jude Hospital. that is doing research to cure that specific type of leukemia. And it's just a really great cause in general. St. Jude's an awesome organization. The run is November 4th. It's and it starts at 8:30 a.m. It's over in Nakati. And this is the last weekend that you can sign up to be guaranteed to get a shirt for the race, because eventually they have to get them made, and that deadline is coming up. So if you get your registration in this weekend, you also get a race shirt, and they're pretty cool. They've got a really cool logo, and that's a nice little prize. There's other prizes also. So anyways, hopefully you can get there. joestrong.org. Sign up November 4th at 8:30 in Nakati.
All right, good. Three, four maybe years ago, time, you know, flies right by, we alerted everyone to the concept of the home title theft. And the only reason we got into it was that the commercials started to appear on TV, and you've all seen them over the years, and they're getting far more frequent right now. But they're sort of bleeding heart type commercials. I got four mortgages I didn't know about and lost my home, all that stuff. And we were poo-pooing it at first because it was so uncommon. The chances of it affecting anybody that would ever be listening were virtually nothing. Well, that's not true anymore. Actually, it's getting worse, and it's getting worse very quickly. It's a very fast-growing crime. And, of course, I think there's more than one company, but the home title company that advertises all the time apparently is doing very well. But into that discussion over the years, we have pointed out more than once that you do not have to buy that insurance protection. Every county within our voice, I would say, has at the registered deeds, they have a service where you can place your particular property on a notify list. And what it does, when there's any activity on your title, you get an email quick. And then you can call them and say, that's not me. And they will use that to stop whatever's going on. So I encourage everybody, if you are computer literate, if you're not, maybe you want to think about buying the service. But if you're computer literate, just get into your county offices, and it's easy to find. They're done free for the citizens and the homeowners of the county. So remember, when you see these things, that yes, it is getting worse. I didn't know that it would grow like it has been, but apparently it is. So in order to protect yourself, either buy the service or, much preferably, do it without spending any money. And then if you put it on your list and maybe you need a trigger like the day you pay your mortgage, go there back to the website and just check and see what's going on, if anything. Usually you'll see no activity. But you can do a little bit of effort and get a good service from your county and protect your home against this very strange, I think, crime.
Please don't buy it. The insurance from the company, it's not worth it. There's no reason for you to have another bill hitting your credit card or your debit card every month. Exactly. It just makes no sense.
Yeah, spend it on Netflix.
Yeah, something useful.
Uh-huh. All right, I got another one here. Who knew that there would be people in the world that once it was announced that they were getting a divorce, might do something like take a big withdrawal from a 401k or take a loan from it or something like that, just so that we try to shelter some of that from the other half.
That never happens, except for a lot. Yeah, all the time.
Exactly. Well, there's a bill in Congress right now, and I think it's just an absolutely excellent idea. It would stop that. Under ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act of 1974, pension plans, defined benefit plans, you think traditional pensions, are already protected from that kind of thing because you need your spouse's approval to do almost anything of that nature. Never been true for the 401k type plans, which are ERISA plans, but they haven't had the same rules to them. Well, this bill would essentially apply the same rules to your 401k as it would to your pension plan, and it will hopefully prevent a lot of spouses from getting the shaft when somebody tries to do something underhanded. I fully support it. It's the Women's Retirement Protection Act of 2023, and I would argue that...
Wait a second, it's the Women's?
Yeah.
Yeah, what does that have to do with
that? That has absolutely nothing to do with it.
I mean...
either way...
Yeah, that's not a good title.
This is a universal
that
possibility.
That can go both ways.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not...
Anyway, conceptually, I think it's excellent, and you ought to support it if you get a chance.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Another thing that happened this week, this is the new news. The lottery winner, the big one from Neptune Beach Publix, came forward.
Well,
not a name,
right?
But came forward. And at this point, we will find out the name, you know, the media.
They said 90
days.
The media already had it because the state
published
a document. Seemed like kind of an error.
It seemed
And I think it was Action News Jax caught it, went to the guy's house, and then decided to respect his privacy.
I was very proud of that.
That was really impressive. Yeah,
it was.
I was shocked.
What I wasn't impressed with is the fact that he still lived there.
And he was there.
Get out!
Yeah, go get in a gated community or go to a hotel or something.
Do something!
Yeah. That's dangerous. That's really dangerous. I mean, there are a lot of wackos out there, and if they found out who won $1 billion, you're going to be on somebody's list who you don't want to be on.
Yeah, I've got a piece in here somewhere in the stack about a woman who won $70 million and couldn't wait to march in front of the cameras and show the big check and all that. And she is now leading the cause to have all significant lottery winners remain totally private.
I don't understand why we need to publish the name, but this guy's name will be published in 90 days. There's nothing he can do about it.
And I encourage him very strongly to call us.
Yeah, that would be great.
If only to say hello. It will be curious, but my bottom line on this thing is I was so glad because, you know, the early rumor, I think you told me actually, that it was something out of Miami.
No, I didn't tell you that.
Okay, but I heard that somewhere, but it's not. It's a local.
Yeah.
And I could not be happier for our little beaches communities to have this kind of inflow because you know what's going to happen. You're going to spend a lot of money inadvertently or advertently.
Yeah, for sure.
It was some place to live, some things to do, cars and all that. When you got that much, you can spend off some principal and live happily.
Yeah, you whatever your dream car is, just go get it.
Publix had another one, I think, too.
That was in town
deal.
There was a winner at a Publix in town.
Yeah, right. And I think
I think it was bigger than that though.
Was it? Yeah. Well, I think they paid the extra buck and made $2 million or something like that.
I thought it was even bigger.
But anyway, whatever. Publix is on a roll.
They really are. Yeah.
How fun is that? But I like the fact that it's hitting locally because, let's face it, when somebody comes up with a windfall like that, the community will benefit.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope they fully understand that the dangers out there are twofold. One is personal safety, and one is the safety of your money. And both of those are very, very critical. One, I guess if you could say one is even more critical than the other, staying alive is usually first for me.
Yeah, for me too.
But that's a lot of money, and there will be people out there trying to fleece it away.
For sure.
But, good for us. I say, what the heck? All right, let's see. I'm looking for some...
I think we should at least mention that the COLA for Social Security came out this week, and everyone who is receiving gets a 3.2% raise, whether you think that's fair or not.
After the break, I'm going to come in on that, and I'm going to follow up on something we did in March, because some other numbers are coming out too, and I want to make sure everybody is well aware of what's going on out there. Some of it good, some of it bad, but you got to know what's happening. All right, we're going to pay some bills here for a little bit and then talk about Social Security, inflation, tax brackets. As part of our year-end planning series, I'm trying to figure out how to get around income planning, and I realize that one of the big hang-ups there is people don't understand tax brackets very well. So we'll get into that. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And the trivia question is still out there, and our lines are open. If you want to take a shot at it, pick up the phone, dial 904-222-8255. The biggest loser from a percentage standpoint in the past 12 months in the stock exchange was Novocure. But what company lost the most of their market value during that same year? And it wasn't Novocure. And it will surprise you. All right, I want a quick follow-up on the lady we talked about that it won the $70 million lottery and took $36 million home, and people started to get on her case and, you know, all the usual stuff you'd expect. Here's how bad it got. She even had to legally change her name so she could hide.
Yeah, and it really is. I think that people underestimate the amount of attention that those types of events garner, and it's not the right kind of attention.
Yeah, and we go back 10 years or so with another big winner, and we got to follow through what happens with the larger winners, and you don't have to be in the 500 million range to be larger. 36 million, this woman had to move and change her name, the whole thing. But people come after you. In fact, we remember a few weeks ago when this drawing was held and it was announced that there was one winner, and it was from the one of the Publix in Neptune Beach. So we came in and went through a little litany of things that would be important for a winner to know. And so far, it's going pretty well, except for that part where they actually found him. No, I don't want to talk, but they found him.
That wasn't his fault, though.
No,
that seemed like it was the lottery administration's fault, which that could be a lawsuit.
Yeah, well, again, it's a thing of trust. But anyway, it will be very important. Speaking of lotteries, you see the one winner in California for $1.7 billion.
I know. That's unbelievable.
Incomprehensible money to even to someone who deals with a lot of other people's money. It's incomprehensible to me. And you just hope that it works out for them. Anyway, speaking of money, a couple things happened this week. And, of course, as usual, I take it to an extreme. We found out this week that the annual inflation rate at the consumer level, the CPI, it was up 4.1%. That means your overall price level is 4.1% higher than it was a year ago. Some things are up, some things are down, but overall, that's what it takes to buy a market basket of goods, which is what it takes to live your life. So I figured, as usual, well, that's the rate of inflation. Right? So that's what the government will use for this and that. I went back to March and I looked up a show that we had done, and I think it was called Index the Entire Tax Code, Please. Because if you have a COLA, I'm speaking now to Social Security recipients, including me, that if the rate of inflation for us is up 4.1%, then the Social Security COLA should be 4.1%, right? That is the simplest logic that I know how to make. So, of course, it's wrong. Instead, Social Security recipients are getting 3.2%. So, let's see, I do the math. Yeah, 0.9% less well off than we were last year.
Oh, but wait, there's more.
Oh, there's lots more.
Yeah.
So what else happened? Well, there was an increase in Medicare B.
Right.
And there was an increase in Medicare D. Tax brackets aren't out yet, but when they are, you know I'll report them.
Yeah, but you know that they're not going to go up the same amount as inflation.
No.
They never
But do. some other things came up, and I've got them in here too, and I'll get to them. But the first thing you notice is the older people got the shaft, of course, by their lesser increase. And Medicare B, we pay for, that rose, 5.9 or 6%, I believe. So there you go again. That takes a chunk of that increase that they put in your Social Security check and takes a chunk of it back, it figures. So what's the good news, I guess? Well, I found it. Medicare A is going down by 0.2%. But there's a little hitch on that one. Everybody listening to me, with rare exception if any, doesn't pay Medicare A. It's free, which means, of course, we already prepaid for it, but that's free according to the government. So the one thing that's going down and could affect your pocket doesn't come out of your pocket.
Great.
I trust you feel a lot better now, Adam, right?
I do. Well, yeah, none of this affects me yet, but it will someday. And I'm sure I will be equally annoyed.
Well, think of the spread on that. You're in your 40s. And you're talking your late 60s when you get this. If they leave 0.9% on the table every year until you're 67.
Starts to add up.
You might as well, be better. Your 401k better perform.
Yeah, that way. Exactly. I better save.
You're going to need the whole thing. Well, then, of course, there's that thing about the Medicare D, which if I got to reintroduce Irma, I guess. Irma, income-related monthly adjustment amounts. That's what people who make above a certain amount of money have to pay extra for Medicare B and D. Interestingly, what you pay extra for Part D even applies if you don't take Part D. So a long time ago, when I first learned about this, I actually called up the IRS, and they were very polite, a wonderfully pleasant woman, and answers the phone. We chat for a while. I said, well, I don't get this. You're asking me to pay extra on Irma for Part D, and I don't use Part D. I've got a private plan. She said, well, you have to look at it this way. That's not what it's about. It's an income tax. And I sat there stunned and just realized that I had been told the truth by lady at IRS, and I thanked her profusely, and I thanked her again on the show for telling me the truth. So you know that if you do a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better in life, they're going to come after you more and more and more. And I don't know anything to do about it except to clamor for having one rate of inflation and applying it to everything. Now, the tax brackets will be out, I would guess, a little while yet. They take a little bit longer to settle in, it seems. But I'll bet anything you're looking at about two-thirds or 60% of inflation that you're going to have to pick up yourself.
Generally. So you get hit again on the taxation side, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of fun.
Yeah, it's just annoying, irritating, expensive, all that stuff. Anyway, let's talk about tax brackets, even though they're not indexed yet. What tax bracket are you in?
And so I think just even before we get into that, a lot of people think that if you cross over into a new tax bracket, you pay that rate on everything you've earned. But that is not how it works. Yep,
that is the bottom line on this whole thing.
I'm always surprised to find out how many people are surprised to learn that you do not pay that way.
Right.
You actually...
And when it comes to year-end planning, it's a critical thing.
It is, because if you cross over several of those tax brackets by 1 cent, it can trigger different things that change your entire taxation, the way that you're taxed.
Yep. So if you're, well, first off, you find your tax bracket by finding out what the last dollar you earned was taxed at. That's your bracket.
Right.
Bracket means the highest percentage you have paid on any of your income. And as Adam says, it doesn't apply to everything. Everybody gets the dollars and the rate of 10%. Everybody gets the next dollars at 12%. And it keeps moving up the scale until you're out of income. And your marginal rate is the one that you already or will pay. I mean, if you add one more, if you earn the next dollar, as I call it, next dollar taxed, if you're at the very top of a tax bracket, your marginal rate will be higher than your current rate because that $1 will flip over. How much of that will be taxed at the higher rate? $1. And people get deathly afraid of going there. And where this comes in for us, especially lately, is the topic of Roth conversions. Mm-hmm. Is people are trying to get some of their, anybody with substantial assets is trying to max out the ability to turn money into Roth IRAs so that down the road when they're subject to required minimum distributions, they won't have to pay on all of that.
Right.
So we've got lots and lots of clients who are doing Roth conversions. And as I've explained before, there are changes that were made in 2017, I think, with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, where all of a sudden your Roth conversion can't be undone. There used to be a provision called recharacterization. So, for instance, if we did a $25,000 Roth conversion, and that $25,000 was all taxable, but we didn't like how much of it went up in the next bracket, just wait till after the first of the year, do with all the numbers, and then if we're $5,000 more than we wanted to be, you just recharacterize that $5,000. From a planning standpoint, it was absolutely too good to be true.
But I believe there's only one tax bracket where you have a real problem here.
And there is.
But it's a big problem.
Yeah, and we'll get into that discussion right after the break. It can be a big problem. But what we found out now is that the only substitute for that recharacterization that we lost is much better advanced planning.
Yeah, you really have to get the numbers right.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that, as I say. Got to pay some more bills. Time is flying by, so give us a call. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And lines are open, 904-222-8255. What company that you would probably least expect lost the most of its value or market capitalization over the last 12 months that ended yesterday? And think off the wall, because it is. Adam was as surprised as I thought he would be.
Yeah, I thought I had a good guess, and it was wrong.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He had an excellent guess.
I'm actually surprised no one's called and guessed the guess that I made.
Yeah, I am too. I thoroughly expected it. I've got a quick note. We talk about books periodically, and I know the topic should be more financial than this one, but once in a while I make an exception. Only in the biggest reach ever is this book about anything financial. It's called The Five Wishes of Murray McBride. And you can find it. That might not be the exact title, but all those things are in it. And if you can find it on Kindle or whatever, I highly recommend it. It's a real emotional roller coaster. But okay. A great story, really well written. And I couldn't recommend it more. In fact, I just started the sequel, which picks up exactly where the first book left off. So I'll let you know on that one, too. Anyway, Social Security and COLAs. Adam mentioned right before the break that there is one critical component to tax bracket planning, and I'm going to let him tell you what it is.
Yeah, so the biggest danger, I would say, or landmine, or whatever you want to call it, in tax bracket planning is the jump from the 12% bracket to the 22% bracket. And the reason is that jump is a big jump. It's 10% more on your marginal dollar earned, but that's not even the bad part. The bad part is if you go 1 cent over, suddenly all your capital gains from the year go from not taxable to taxable. And that can be a pretty big tax hit depending on your situation. If you have a large amount of in a brokerage account or a joint account or a trust that gets puts off capital gains, or you've done some trading and taken some profits.
Mutual funds can do the trading and you don't even know it.
Yeah, and you might get a surprise higher than expected disbursement from a mutual fund at the end of the year. And if that puts you over by a penny, all of its tax, you went from zero capital gains taxes to capital gains taxes.
Yeah, 0 to 15%.
Yep.
That's
right.
That's undefinable because it would be divided by zero. So it's an infinite increase. But I don't think that enough people know the good parts, the useful parts of the tax code. And one of them, which we've been really honing in on since the 2017 Act, because the brackets got wider, that 0% on the bottom two rates on capital gains, you just don't find a lot of 0% income anymore.
Right.
And to blow it because you weren't planning well enough on the other things. Now, here's where, back to Social Security, how it's integrated. Social Security got an 8.75% increase last year, so all of us who are collecting got more money. I'm going to add an aside here. If you're 62 or older, your account at Social Security, even if you're not drawing, it receives all the COLAs. So don't think that you have to claim early to get the COLA. You get it if you're 62 or older. That's something not many people realize either. But let's talk about the people who are collecting Social Security. They got an 8.75% raise. Now, many people don't have to pay taxes on that. Why? Because there are two income thresholds. You either get it at 0%, or it's 50% taxable, or it's 85% taxable. About 8% of recipients have climbed into paying taxes on Social Security for the first time because that raise was so big. And that breaks my heart. Because you don't, unlike the tax bracket thing, if you go over that 50% thing, you don't just pay the marginal rate on a little bit. Every bit of your 50% is thrown into taxable income.
We have a note here that a caller wanted to reach out to us. That'd be great. You can reach us at 904-685-1505. And we'll be in the office Monday. You can call, but you can also go online and schedule an appointment if you'd like to. We're at vanweefinancial.com, VANWIE financial.com.
And that's very good advice, by the way, calling us.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, the things that are changing in the tax code are making year-end planning a lot more difficult than it was. But the potential rewards from this, both the short-term where maybe you get your capital gains for free, the long-term definitely, if you're doing Roth conversions and down the line your RMDs are going to be lower, all those things can really help you today, tomorrow, and the rest of ever. And we do a lot of it. I think we're as good as anybody could reasonably be. You know, I also have to mention our total disclaimer. We are not in any way, shape, or form tax professionals. We can't prepare taxes, anything like that. We're tax planners as part of being certified financial planners. We can do all the planning you'll need, and then we'll work with whatever tax professional you use, whether a CPA or a service or whatever, or if you do it yourself.
TurboTax, yeah.
There are a lot of people now who are getting older who've always been do-it-yourselfers, and they're just kind of tired of it. And let's face it, it's getting complicated, too.
Yep, and that, you mentioned the jump from the 12 to 22% bracket is the big one. If you're above that, there isn't the same worries until you get to the very, very high income ranges. If you're jumping from 22 to 24, you may not want to pay that extra 2% on the marginal dollar. Right. But as far as ruining a bunch of other planning that you've done, you don't face the same issues at that in that tax range as you do earlier in the tax brackets and later in the tax brackets.
Yeah, and when you save a couple grand and you're making less than 100 grand, that's a big deal. Whereas maybe if you're up in the 35% bracket and you save a couple grand, although those people, they tend to really care about those things. How do you think they got there?
Yeah, exactly. But yes, it doesn't have the same impact either. But I meant more from if you go from 22 to 24, there's no triggers that I'm aware of that where you would lose something else because that happened.
Yeah, definitely it's that 12-22 divide that everybody should pay very close attention to.
Yeah, and that 22 percent bracket is, for a married couple, it's gotten to be where you can make a really good amount of money, somewhere in the
89,450 of taxable income. You're still at zero in 2023. That will be edging up a little bit, and when they redo the brackets for 24. So
wait, at zero, what do you think about or at 10 and 12?
The 10 and 12% brackets.
Okay.
You in other words, you get all of your 10%, and if you make 89,450 even, then you get everything at the 12%.
Okay. You said it's make zero. One, I just wanted to be clear.
Okay, yeah. You make one more dollar, two things happen. You pay 22% of that $1. Who cares, right? But anything that was included in capital gains earlier will also be taxed at 15% instead of zero.
So if you have, like I said, if most of your income comes from investments, that can really hurt.
It really can. And I think it's something that not enough people are probably aware of. Because I was always, remember being so surprised when I learned that capital gains are still zero at those two brackets. Mm-hmm. I thought surely in 2017 that was going to be given away, and it was not so far. Another thing people got to remember, too, is if nothing else happens, on January 1st, 2026,
that's right.
Rates are going back up.
That's going to, I don't think people are aware of how bad that's going to hurt.
I'm the one who sat here for year after year and was always kind of poo-pooing the Roth conversion thing for various and sundry reasons. All of a sudden, with that looming, when you see that absolute turmoil that is Washington, D.C. today, you got to kind of give it a pretty good percentage chance that those old brackets are going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
That means your Roth conversion today could not only pay you back later, but it could pay you back a lot higher.
Yeah. But you do have to be willing to pay some taxes today.
You do have to.
Sometimes we get into this conversation with clients and they learn that fact, and they shut it down because they hate paying taxes so much, even though it's the right thing to do.
Right.
Not pay taxes, but to for a planning purpose, to pay taxes, to less taxes today versus more taxes tomorrow. But they learn they're going to get a big tax bill, and they're out.
Well, you know that paying taxes is voluntary, right? Just call Wesley Snipes and ask him how it's going.
That's incorrect.
There are a lot of people in the little cult out there that don't think it's important. But it is very important, and it is an integral part of what we do, especially this time of year. That's why I'm kind of focusing on this whole year-end planning thing for a while. You can't wait until January, February, March, and April to do your tax planning for last year. There are some things you can do.
Right.
Other things not.
There are too many deadlines that are December 31st.
And I'm going to tell you now something that I think will surprise everybody. The company that lost the most value of any stock in the market was Dollar General.
And my guess was Disney.
Yeah. And I thought, wow, Adam just made the best guess possible, except for one thing.
It's not right.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? Dollar General lost more market cap than anybody else.
And all you hear about is how many people are shopping there now because everything else is so expensive.
And by the way, they still have $24 billion left in market cap. I think it'll be okay.
Not bad. But.
And I did notice that the new guy's coming back, apparently, and they're going to reshift. Not everything's going to be a buck and a quarter anymore. They're going to try to go down to the $1 again on some of the aisles and then have a little more expensive one on top of that.
Okay.
Very interesting company to watch for a while. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll see you all next week, same time.